Thanks for joining us today on CC and Doc Talk, where we talk about everything under the sun. You never know quite what you're going to get, but you'll always be entertained.
So if you if you really want insight into our world and the craziness, it's 6 a.m. and both of us want to share what all we've learned so far this morning. Because I think I mentioned somewhere along the line that, you know, even when 2 hours passed, you and I have so much to share on what's happened in our world.
Including when we're supposed to be sleeping.
And this morning is no different. And so, Cece, do you want to explain your morning
for me? So my sleep patterns have been a little disrupted lately, we assume, from chemo. And so I generally wake up at about 2:30 or 3:30 in the morning, and then I put my sleep headphones on and I try to meditate and go back to sleep, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but oftentimes I find myself staring at the ceiling at 5 a.m. and I'm one of those people who needs 7 or 8 hours of sleep a night, so I am probably getting in, going to bed a little earlier. I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes 7 p.m.
We used to be night owls, but honest to God, this whole chemo thing. Anyway, so the point of this is this morning at about 5 o'clock, I grabbed my headphones to put them on, and Doc was already awake,
reading a scientific book on the polyvagal theory.
Right, which was assigned to her by her new therapist, because, you know, we got to do therapy now that we're going through this crazy ass cancer journey. And it's so funny because normally she's like snoring next to me and I'm wide awake and then trying to sneak out of bed. So this morning she's reading this book and she's like, "What's up?" And I'm like, I gotta do something to get my head, you know. Anyway, so I put on my sleep headphones and I find this, I've downloaded a past life regression, your most important past life regression meditation. And I thought, oh, what the hell? And honestly, these things don't always work for me. The meditations do, but the past life regression stuff, I've been trying for a really long time to do that because I really, really believe that there's stuff in my past life that would unlock some things. But I really struggle with being able to find the visuals.
I mean, you had a hypnotist along the way. You have been trying to do past life for years.
I have. So if there's anybody out there who's really great at past life regression, please, please, please get in touch with Cece because I would like that. Anyway, so I put the headphones on this morning and I must have just been in a zone. And so my morning consisted of having a very vivid visual of past life. And so I opened my eyes and I was on a street in a very busy city. At the time, I didn't know what the city was. And then all of a sudden, a cable car came by. So I knew I was in San Francisco. And I realized, lo and behold, I was a man. Tall, dark hair, sort of angular features, you know, attractive. And he
tall,
had
dark
on
and handsome. I'm liking this.
Tall, dark, and handsome. Yeah, totally the opposite of me now. short blonde, and we'll just
handsome.
Leave the other part blank. So a trench coat, which makes sense in the San Francisco. So anyway, and it was funny because in my head, I realized this person's name was Robert Louis, and I thought, Robert Louis Stevenson, that's ridiculous. And so then I thought, oh, well, maybe the parents were fans of Robert Louis Stevenson. So this person's name was Robert Louis. I'm realizing now that I probably didn't have a last name. That was probably a first name and a middle name. He was 37 years old. It was 1945. I'm going to try to fast forward through this. 1945. And I realized that at some point I realized that he was actually gay in 1947, if you can imagine that. And he had not a great relationship with his father. There was one flashback where he was a child and he was playing with lace and his father told him not to be a sissy. And then
like
he
lace the fabric, like
lace,
very
like
frilly
his mother's
lace. Okay.
Lace, lacy things. Yes. And then he was at his father's deathbed at one point, and his father said, "It's time for you to get married." And then at first I thought maybe his mother was kind of on his side, and then I realized she wasn't, because apparently Robert was in love with a black man by the name of Michael. And at some point his mother came across Michael and was displeased to the nth degree. And then, you know, these past life regressions come in flashes and the meditations try to take you down a certain path. And I'm like, I want to follow the path I want. Don't divert me. But anyway, it diverted me a little bit. And I found myself at a club in Castro, or Robert found himself at a club in Castro with Michael. And there was a raid and the police came in and they actually beat Michael to death. They beat up Robert too, but they beat Michael to death. And he actually watched the love of his life die. And I remember the meditation person saying, you know, what was the meaning of this event? And I'm like, well, he just lost the love of his life. That's like completely earth shattering. So then fast forward, like, I don't know, not 20 years later, because I was born in 1968. So I know he has to have died before I came into being, the current me came into being. But it was sometime in the 60s, he was marching in a protest and somehow, I don't know how, ended up getting shot in the chest and died. And I think I recall his sister being there with him, and I think her name was Jane, you know, simple names back then. And I remember, you know, just kind of, and I jumped out of bed. I jumped out of bed and I said, oh my God, I have to go write some things down. And Amy was sitting next to me reading this very scientific book. And so anyway, so I get up and I start writing things down. And the nice thing about past life regression is they tell you, you know, they set you up so that you're not personalizing the emotions. But the pivotal points of this for me are that A, he was gay. B, he ended up being a gay activist on some level. And C, he got shot in the chest. And as you know, Doc, like, especially through menopause, I would sort of wake up in the middle of the night with these sort of almost like panic attacks, not quite panic attacks, but sort of little anxiety attacks. And I would feel like I couldn't breathe. I was gasping for air. And I've always thought that somebody drowned me in a past life or asphyxiated me. And now I wonder if the lack of breath and the feeling like I can't breathe goes back to this Robert being shot and killed by a bullet.
Yeah, wow.
So that was my morning.
That was
morning.
A very active morning.
That was my morning before 6 a.m. What was yours?
Yeah, wow. And then interesting, when you do have those little panic attacks, you often pat your chest.
I do.
You
pat
your heart all the time, which mm-hmm. is kind of interesting.
I do.
And then you have embraced diversity at a very young age.
Clearly.
You've always been an advocate for things, and when you believe in something, you fight for it. I mean, to the point that I'm just like, wow. And so this is kind of an interesting little path right. you went down there.
Right. Well, clearly yeah. I don't choose the easy paths.
No, you don't choose the easy
paths. Gay activism and cancer. And
he chose me.
Yeah, you're the tough one. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
The jury's still out on you. So how was your morning before 6 a.m.?
I'm looking to hire a new therapist, and one that I met with introduced me to this polyvagal theory. And so I thought I'd get a book and look into it. And the book is so scientific, I'm having a hard time reading it. And
this is all about the vagus nerve, right?
It's the vagus nerve. Okay. But of course, the book wants to start with where it came from and give all this context. And so I have had to reread and reread the paragraphs multiple times in between dozing off. And so I will try to, I'm going to bore you with some science here, but just bear with me. And so really, when we talk about the nervous system, you know, there's the central nervous system, which we all know about, and that's the brain and spinal cord. And this is control. It controls our body functions and our body movements from speech to memory. And the spinal cord is linked to this. So there's that part. And the central nervous system, there's also then there's peripheral nervous systems, and that's anything outside the central nervous system. So that is activities that are apart from that brain and the spinal cord. So that might be...
to like the nerves that go out to your fingers and your toes and...
Right. Yep. Yep.
Things like that.
Yep. So the finer stuff.
Let me try to make it understandable for everybody.
Right.
while you.
So this peripheral nervous system is divided into different parts: the somatic nervous system and the autonomic nervous system. And so the somatic, which somatic is derived from the Greek word body. So this is your body movements. And so the somatic nervous system is sending and receiving your motor responses. So that's to the central nervous system. That says, move my hand right now when I'm talking. Pat my chest when I need to. It's all the voluntary movement that our brain is telling us to do, because that brain-spinal movement, that
connection. Or in terms of somatic therapy, running away from an attack if you're an animal in the Serengeti.
Absolutely. It goes to the fight-flight stuff. And I'm going to be getting into the fight-flight stuff pretty heavily in a second here. So the autonomic nervous system is the automatic one, and that is you don't think about it. And that directly controls your glands, your blood vessels, your heart, your lung, and the smooth muscles. So this is your breathing, your heart rate, your urination, digestion, sexual arousal is part of that. And this is part of your fight flight. So it's the automatic one does the fight flight. So and by the way, that's all controlled by the hypothalamus in the brain. We've heard that word before, but you know, there you go. I'm tying all the pictures together. So now let's get into where it gets really fun and interesting and really informative. The autonomic nervous system is divided into three different systems: the sympathetic nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system, and the enteric, E-N-T-E-R-I-C, nervous system. What the heck does all this mean? Now, believe me, I'm
already confused.
I'm just kind of going, oh my gosh, why am I reading this?
I'm drinking decaf morning, so I am not following you at all.
Okay.
Just so you know.
So the sympathetic nervous system is, I don't know. How do I even explain this? Anyway.
Well, and do you need to explain all this? Why are you reading the book?
Okay, let's get down to...
Sorry, let me just cut to the chase here. Why the hell are you reading this book?
Okay, so let me get to the parasympathetic nervous system is the... There's this vagus nerve that goes through the that does the parasympathetic. Oh, okay. Sympathetic nervous system, it involves our anything that has to do with basically like a cortisol release, something that gets your adrenaline up. It makes you kind of like blah. And then the parasympathetic nervous system is anything that makes you then relax and contract. So they work one against one another. So they kind of like, oh, okay.
So the sympathetic nervous system makes you crazy and anxious.
And the parasympathetic,
comes in to calm you down.
Yeah, and any scientist out there.
Calm the fuck down.
It is the calm the fuck down one, right? And so I'm trying to put these pieces together and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to remember any of this.
And what the hell does this have to do with me?
And already an hour later, I'm not remembering any of it, but that's okay. So the parasympathetic nervous system is the calm the fuck down. And I'm sitting here with my yoga pose now with my fingers in that pose, you know,
you
with
look
the
like
little
your
curl.
Bitmoji.
Yes. And this vagus nerve is responsible for, it's connected to the parasympathetic. So the vagus nerve, by the way, it comes from the Latin root of vagus, which is interesting, vagus, which is
what wanderer. Happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas.
And it means to wander, the wandering.
Funny.
So it's the wandering nerve. And it goes all over. It's the longest one. It goes from the base of your brain all the way down to your groin area and then branches out. But it's,
so it extends down through almost all your chakras too.
Extends through the chakras. And it is really responsible for the gut. Now, I carry my anxiety in my gut. I've had a lot of stomach issues over the years. And so as soon as I mentioned stomach issues and that's where all my stress goes, I think that's why this therapist said, you need to check out this vagus nerve system. So anyway, it helps us understand.
Please note, we are not scientists or doctors. This is truly the world according to CC and Doc.
So I'm just going to jump to the conclusion I got. Because, you know, where CC needs quiet time, reading, meditation, for me to stay balanced, the recommendations are that I need to work out in the gym. I need to clean the house. I need to go for a run. I need to get outside and do gardening. I need to do box breathing, which is interesting because CC,
because my Reiki master has had me doing box breathing, and I had, as much as I am into breathing, I had never heard of box breathing before. And by the way, can I just mention, I'm thrilled that you get to clean the house.
I know, I'm like, wow, did I just say that out loud? So box breathing, where you breathe in for four, hold for four, breathe out for four, hold for four.
Before
breathe
you
in
breathe
for
in
four, for breathe in, count four, hold for four, breathe out for four, hold, and the exhale for four as well. So box breathing. So that was in here.
So we've decided my Reiki therapist is brilliant, but we already knew that that Shikara is brilliant. But she's had me doing that a lot. So I'm sure that she has every bit of knowledge about this whole Vegas thing.
So let's go to Vegas. Let's wander. And then it says there's two other things that I... Well, it says Tai Chi. It says to do Tai Chi, interestingly enough. And also this vagus nerve is tied to ear ringing tinnitus.
Which you have.
Which I have as well.
Yeah.
And I think there was one other connection that I picked up on this morning that I was like, wow, you've got to be kidding me. Fainting. Oh, it's the... And as some of you may or may not know, I can faint easily. So I'm getting better at it.
She is the toughest person I know, not afraid of anything, but blood and needles will...
Certain things. That, you know, when it was mentioned that you were diagnosed with... I don't say you have cancer. When you were diagnosed with cancer,
right.
I pretty much almost fainted right there. So that's the vagus nerve.
Well, and,
thank you very much, Vegas.
And those of you who aren't reading our Caring Bridge don't know that she has to pull my... She has to pull the plug on my chemo... every other week, and which means she's got to pull this massive needle out of the port in my chest, and so
breathe.
She's managed to do that.
Breathe.
It's funny just thinking about it right
breathe.
Now. She looks
I'm
like
turning
she's
white.
Pass out. But she has done a very good job the last three rounds of doing it without any sign of faintness. But yes, you do have that fainting tendency with the things that just really get you.
So it says I need to take care of my gut. So I think Pop Tarts and beer. but then the other thing it says to do, be around people I trust and find safety in, and not be around those that I don't trust because it triggers that.
And I would say that has not always been true for you. Like we, you know, so.
Yeah. So, and then, cold therapy, which is like, if I say this, you're just going to shiver because right now all of your neuropathy dealing with the cold, but it literally says the best thing I can do to get my vagus nerve to calm the fuck down is to go to the freezer, get one of those small ice packs and put it on the base of my neck.
Our friend Gina's been doing that for years, but I don't know that she knew that she was doing it because of her vagus nerve.
Yeah. And so put it on the base of the neck. And that's the fastest way. And if you don't have access to that, that splashing cold water on your face or putting your hands or your wrists in cold water is the fastest way to get your vagus nerve to calm down.
So these last 2 weeks of work, whenever she works these days, she gets a little more stressed out, even though she's only got 2 weeks left before retirement. So basically, anytime you come upstairs and you're stressed out, I'm just going to grab a bag of peas.
Glass of cold water and throw it on my face.
I'm going to grab a bag of peas from the freezer and throw them at you so you can stick them on the back of your neck.
So there's our morning coffee
work
hour.
Doesn't stress you out at all.
We'd love to hear what you were thinking about for the last couple of hours
this
morning.
Yeah, what's been happening in your couple hours since you woke up? Oh, my God.
Yeah, what does your sunrise consist of?
This,
so anyway,
can
here's
I just
a morning
say,
with Cece and Doc.
Can I just say this whole morning person thing is for the birds?
Well, I do like the birds, so I better go feed them. So maybe that will calm me down because it's cold out.
Awesome. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Cece and Doc Talk. We'd love for you to follow us on social media at Cece and Doc. That's CCNDOC. And you can visit our website at ccanddoc.com. We also take monthly donations to support this broadcast if you're so inclined. We'd love to hear your comments, suggestions, and questions, and we'll do our best to respond. Thanks, and have a fantabulous day.